Good evening, friends. Again, we give you a hearty welcome. This is the most difficult thing in the ministry, is to say goodbye. It's been wonderful to enjoy the warm sunshine of the Bahamas and the warm and rich fellowship that we enjoyed these past 2 weeks. And now we're heading back tomorrow into the cold of New England. But on behalf of my wife Peggy and I, we thank you abundantly for the privilege of being with you and sharing some of the good things from the Word of God. We'll continue to pray for you, and I know that you will be praying for us. We've been looking again at the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. We saw his work in creation. The Spirit moved upon the waters. We saw his work at the incarnation. The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, Gabriel said to the Virgin. We saw his work in ministration. The Lord Jesus casting out demons in the power of the Holy Spirit. We saw his work at the crucifixion. Christ by the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. We looked at his work in inspiration. Men moved, speak as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And then we had the work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration, the new birth. Tonight, a final message. So we turn, please, to the Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 8. And we shall look at the work of the Holy Spirit in evangelization. Evangelization. Acts chapter 8, and reading verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said, notice the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he may come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch said, answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on the way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities, till he came to Caesarea. So once again, the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. The Holy Spirit in evangelization. It's absolutely amazing the various avenues and channels that the Holy Spirit will use to bring a sinner to the Lord. Sometimes a little amusing. Little girl by the name of Edith, E-D-I-T-H. And one night she said to her dad, "I got saved tonight because the preacher was preaching at me all night." He says, "How come?" "Well, he was reading a scripture, 'This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them.'" She thought he was saying, "and eateth with them," and brought that dear little girl to the Lord. Another great preacher was visiting a Pugmore Junction in Nova Scotia. And there was an old hardened sinner in the audience. Suddenly, she began to smile. At the end of the meeting, something happened. "Oh yes," she said, "I got saved tonight." It is praise the Lord. "What part of my message was it that got to you?" "Oh," she said, "sir, it was not your message, it was a text on the wall." The Holy Spirit uses various means and methods to bring a sinner to himself. One of the great sections of God's Word, Acts chapter 8, 9 and 10. Here we see the work of the Holy Spirit in evangelization. He has reached every continent in this universe, carrying in power the message of the glorious gospel through his servants. In chapter 8, he touched the African continent. In chapter 9, Asia. And in chapter 10, Europe. The man from Ethiopia. In chapter 9, it's Saul of Tarsus from Asia. And in chapter 9, it's Cornelius of the Italian band. The work of the Holy Spirit indeed is far-reaching. So no wonder the message was, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." And the Lord said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, in the power and in the unction of the Holy Spirit." Here in chapter 8 of the Acts of the Apostles, we have this great conversation between the preacher and the convert. A personal approach again by the Holy Spirit. He was this man. A few things about the preacher. His name was Philip. Three times in the Acts of the Apostles, there's a reference to Philip. In chapter 6 of the Acts, he was selected by others to help the widows at Jerusalem. There we see him working in the assembly. And it's always a wonderful thing to work in the assembly of the Lord's people. And then here in chapter 8, we see him in the world as a herald, a helper, and a herald. And then, in chapter 21, we see him in the home as a host, a helper, a herald, and a host. And here he is preaching the word of God in the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. Every man that aspires to handle this book should be faithful in speaking well of Christ. Today there's much emphasis upon self, self-esteem, self-aggrandizement. If anyone has a right to handle the word of God, then they should speak well about Christ. He preached Christ unto them. Once again, this is the exaltation of the Lord Jesus. God has made this same Jesus, whom he crucified, both Lord and Christ. a faithful preacher. But he was also a very forceful preacher. He gave heed unto those things. They gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. And it's almost overwhelming to see a reaction by the audience, by sinners, when the Holy Spirit is in motion, to see a reaction and giving heed to the Word of God. He was a fearless preacher, but he's also a faithful preacher. He was a very forceful preacher, but notice he was a very fearless preacher. There was much satanic opposition. And you'll always find Satan opposing the preaching of the gospel. He will use any means at all to discourage, to distract. That is perpetual and perennial objective, to keep people from thinking about eternal verities. Satan is always present. We have had many, many experiences along this line of satanical opposition. We were having a very difficult time on one occasion in Detroit, Michigan. You could feel the opposition of the old devil. We went to a prayer meeting one night, and a young lad stood up and he prayed, choking with emotion. Oh God, give us a passion for souls. And he broke down and he sat down. Another man with a very bad heart condition was told never to get up publicly because of his bad heart condition. He got up to pray immediately. He said, I didn't care if I dropped down dead. That was the beginning of the meetings. Souls began to respond to the gospel and came to the Lord Jesus. A passion for souls. He that is for us is greater than he that is against us. So in the final analysis, we are on the victory side. So this man, Philip, he was a faithful preacher, a forceful preacher, and he was a fearless preacher, but also a fruitful preacher. There were many, many souls brought into the kingdom as a result of his preaching. Unclean spirits, clamors, loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and they were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Saved and happy in the Lord. Now he is having a very successful gospel crusade. And notice, the angel of the Lord in verse 26 says, Philip, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Here was a man that was guided in his movements. And angels are always interested in the furtherance of the gospel. They look into those things, desiring, and they're overwhelmed when they see sinners coming to the Savior. They have never themselves personally experienced salvation, but they see the effect, and that makes angels happy. Arise and go toward the sun. And as he arose, he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, with the charge of all the treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So we have his nationality. He is an African. Here, he was a man of great authority. We have his rule. And, obviously, a very reliable man. He was in charge of all the treasure of this queen. And notice, he was very religious. Every one of these three men, in Africa, Asia, and in Europe, they were all very religious. He came to Jerusalem for to worship. 1,500 miles. And some people can't cross the streets of Nassau to come and to listen to the Word of God. Just a few yards, a few miles at the most. This man, 1,500 miles. Very religious. Saul of Tarsus in chapter 9 was very religious. If you say we're circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness within the law, blameless, very religious. And Cornelius, in chapter 10 of the Italian bands, he was very religious. These three men discover that religion will never save your soul. The world today is confused by religion. Religion. Wars on every continent as a result of religion. Religion can never save us all. The Lord Jesus alone, can save. His desire, he came for to worship. Oh, he saw the priests with the long flowing garments. He saw the sheep going through the sheep gate. He saw the morning and the evening oblation, the sacrifices, lots of ceremony and ritual. That could not fill the void in his heart. So here he's returning back home, dissatisfied, disappointed. But the seeking sinner will always find the seeking Savior. His desire, here he's traveling along, and we observe his difficulties, discouraged. But God is always in control. He has secured a very expensive document in Jerusalem. Because, of course, he was a rich man. And he's going back home reading in the best book and the best chapter in the Old Testament that can bring you to the Savior. And he's traveling along, sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet, then, this is wonderful, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. You see, the Holy Spirit was already riding on the chariot. This chariot. And you remember God himself said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. God was the captain of the boat. And he, the Holy Spirit, is riding along on the chariot. Now, it's sometimes difficult to ride in a car in Nassau, isn't that true? But here he is riding on a chariot. He was in complete control of the every situation. And Philip ran hither. You see, the gospel demands an exercise, expediency, he ran. And he gets to the right portion of Scripture, the most precious portion in the whole book of Isaiah, the 66 chapters, he's reading in Isaiah the prophet. And Philip joined the chariot, a hitchhiking evangelist, and he said to Philip, or rather, Philip said to him, Philip ran to the tomb and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? You see, he was guided in his movements, but very gracious in his manner. And that always ought to be the objective of any preacher, to enable to speak the word of God and to be gracious in the handling of the sacred Scripture. Lord Jesus, the master preacher, was always very, very gracious. He spoke with authority, but he was also very, very gracious. Understandest thou what there is? He said, how can I, except someone should guide me? And Philip desired Philip that he would come up and all the facts of the scripture was brought in full force by the Holy Spirit. And he sat in the chariot. And so the man who had a desire to come to Jerusalem for the worship had difficulties not finding that that would thrill his soul. But notice his discoveries, and they are absolutely awesome. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. This man from Ethiopia found in the scriptures about the humiliation of the Lord Jesus. And that should really touch our souls. The humiliation of the Lord Jesus. We must get away from self and be occupied with him. He is our guide. He is our exemplar. And the only man that ever had a reputation made himself of no reputation, says Paul to the Philippians, took upon himself the form of a bond slave and was made in the likeness of men. He found humiliation in the Lord Jesus. Paul said, you know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he was rich, for our sake he became poor. And that gripped the soul of this man from Ethiopia. His humiliation. He noticed also his perfection. Like a lamb dumb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. Humiliation. He also observed perfection. This is the only avenue of salvation. Not in a place, Jerusalem, but in a person. That's why when the gospel goes forth in any part of the universe, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, faithful preaching, souls are brought into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. Perfection. He is the Lamb. John says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And only a perfect one could save those who are imperfect. He is the only one that can save a sinner from going down to hell. Humiliation. Perfection. And then he was overwhelmed with the crucifixion. His life taken from here. This cut off out of the land of the living. And if any subject is calculated to reach the souls of men and women, it's the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. For it is the maker of the universe. Man for man was made a curse. He claims of law that he had made. Unto the uttermost he paid. His holy fingers formed the bow. Through the thorns that crowned his brow. His nails were pierced and hands were pierced. Again, by nails. Hands and his feet. The nails that pierced his hands of mine, in secret places he desired. He made the forest whence there sprung the tree on which his body hung. He died upon a cross of wood. He had made the hill on which it stood. The spear which spilt his precious blood was tempered in the fires of God. The grave in which his form was laid was hewn in rocks. his hands at me. But the throne on which he now appears was his from everlasting years, and a new glory crowns his brow and every knee. To him shall bow. Crucifixion. The wonderful man of Calvary. He discovered humiliation. He discovered perfection. He discovered crucifixion. But he also discovered the authenticity of the Word of God. Because you find that Philip, he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So Philip was guided in his movements, go down to Gaza. He was gracious in his manner, but he was also grounded in his message. He preached unto him Jesus. Some translations put about Jesus, or you can preach about Jesus from any portion of the Word of God. But there's absolutely no doubt, no divide as to who the person is in Isaiah 53. Beginning at the same scripture, he preached unto him Jesus. So when you read that precious portion of the Word of God, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace laid upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. It's Jesus. Jesus, oh how sweet the name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He was overwhelmed to think that the man in Isaiah 53 was cut off in death for a rebel, a religious rebel such as he. Traveling along on the chariot. And they come to water. Here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? You see, friends, the greatest experience in life is to be saved. The second great experience is to identify yourself with the Lord Jesus in the waters of baptism. In essence, he said to the evangelist, before his entourage, they cut him off in death, now you cut me off. I want to identify myself with a wonderful man of Calvary. Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believe with all thy heart, thou mayest. You see, it has to be heart occupation. Too much today emphasis on intellect. Wonderful to accumulate the facts and the Word of God in the mind. We read in John's Gospel many other miracles with Jesus in the presence of his disciples. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and believing you might have life through his name. A double verb. You believe the facts in the mind, and believing, you must have heart action to accept the Lord Jesus. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If thou believe with all thy heart, no reservation, a complete capitulation to the Lord Jesus. And Philip answered and said, to me it's very distressing that in the international version, that verse is omitted. A small print in the bottom, some manuscripts, inject that phrase. Friends, this is the most important verse in the chapter. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Personally, I love the good King James Version. We had a black brother came to an assembly one occasion. It's the hands of those who can quote John 3:16 from the Darby translation. Nobody raised their hand. The revised version, he went right down the line. Now how many can quote John 3:16 from the King James version, and every hand went up in our chapel. Beautiful language. Sometimes you feel like the old Scottish lady who once said that the King James version was good enough for the Apostle Paul and is good enough for her. Well, her geography and her history was a little off, but she appreciated the value of this priceless document. Notice, friend, faith, I believe. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. I believe. It takes faith to appropriate the Lord's death for sinners such as you and me. Number two, I believe Jesus. Recognize that he was the only Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. We love the name of Jesus. There is a name I love to hear, I love to speak its word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. And in the coming day, God's people who are saved will walk down Redemption Avenue in glory. And the scripture says, and on their forehead will be his name. I wonder, no biblical confirmation, I wonder if it's the name of Jesus. His name shall be on their forehead. When ungodly men walk the streets of Nassau, 666, the mark of the beast, we'll walk down Redemption Avenue in glory. But his name on our forehead, Jesus. Christ. You recognize that the one that was cut off in death has been exalted to glory. For God has made the same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Christ is the anointed, exalted name. There's at least 365 names, according to Dr. Cameron, a Bible scholar from Detroit, Michigan, many years ago, 365 names for the Lord in the scripture. One for every day of the year. Probably one for the leap year. Oh, how precious is the name of Christ, the exalted one. I believe, faith, Jesus, the saving one, Christ, the exalted one, is the Son of God. And you cannot be saved apart from believing in the deity of the Lord Jesus. These cults out there will not recognize that he is the Son of God. Co-equal and co-eternal. Oh, they say he might be a good man, but they will not recognize the deity of the Lord Jesus. And that is an absolute essential. That's the basis, that's the ground for salvation, to recognize that he is the God-man, the Son of God. And notice the next step, baptism. We see his desire to come to Jerusalem. We saw his difficulties, didn't find what he was looking for in Jerusalem. We've looked at his discoveries as he's traveling along, and the Holy Spirit in the chariot. Notice his devotion. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded, he's a man of authority, he commanded the chariot to stand still. What a moment that must have been for the Holy Spirit riding along in the chariot. And the evangelist to hear him command the chariot to stand still. What a joy that is to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to see obedience in relation to baptism. Nowhere in the Word of God you find baptism as a sprinkling or a applying of water on the forehead or whatever. There are many baptisms mentioned, but it's immersion. Immersion. They went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. What a joy. Little girl in Aberdeen, Scotland, got saved, and she asked the elders of the church, the assembly, if she could be baptized. Well, they thought she was a little young, and said, well, maybe you should wait a little longer, and just to prove the reality of your experience as a convert. Sometime later, she came back to the same men and asked to be baptized. The same procedure. We think we should wait a little longer. She said to these men, well, sir, gentlemen, accept your decision that ye baptize me before the Lord comes back. Well, they went into action that night and got the tank ready. Baptize me before the Lord comes back. Obedience to the command and the desire of the Lord Jesus. And he came up out of the water. And notice again, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. What an experience for Philip. There in Samaria, down to the desert, riding in a chariot, and then suddenly he goes upward. And he didn't have to go to Cape Canaveral. The Holy Spirit caught him up, and that is a picture of the rapture. Maybe tonight, God's people will be caught up. The Lord himself should descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Put your left foot down in Bay Street, and the next moment your right foot down in glory. Such will be the transformation when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. And Philip went upward, and the man from Ethiopia went on his way rejoicing. He was a happy man that returned to Ethiopia. Those who are not saved, oh, we just pray and pray that they might have this experience, to have the joy of the Lord. The Holy Spirit in evangelization. Chapter 9 again, the apostle Saul of Tarsus. Religious men found that only Jesus could save. Who art thou, Lord? And Cornelius, the man from the man from Europe of the Italian band, found that only the Lord Jesus could fill his soul with joy. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you once again for bringing us together around thy precious word. We feel so limited in our knowledge and in our capacity to handle these things relative to the great work of the Holy Spirit. But we thank you, Father, for the transaction in the souls of thy children here tonight, and that perhaps as one here not saved, that they will turn to the Savior and be like the man from Ethiopia that will go on their way rejoicing. We ask these things, giving thanks again for all thy kindness, in the name of the Lord Jesus.